They might talk about humor, music, film, books, football and box sets, exercise and maybe even food. Trivia and sport, politics and health, sometimes well-being too. On the Life with Brian. On the Life with Brian.
Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Life with Brian, the Brian McClare podcast. As you have probably guessed by the accent, I am not the aforementioned Celtic and Manchester United legend, Mr. McClare. My name's Mark, and I'm here to push the record button and feed the main man subjects to talk about. Helping me to extract the thoughts and words from Brian in this episode and everything after is journalist Matthew Crist. Matthew, how are you?
I'm very well, Mark. Thank you very much.
Good. Well, that's about all you need to know about us. So let's hear from Brian McClare himself. Welcome to your own show, Brian. How are things with you?
I very much like the introduction, particularly the part about dragging the words out. It may well be like that.
I doubt that very much for some reason.
I'm a man of very... That's maybe the one that... I don't know why I'm doing this, because I'm a man of very, very few words.
What are we calling you, Brian? Brian? Chucky? Your Highness? What's the right protocol in this format?
I think Chucky is the appropriate, but I'm comfortable with any addition to the end of the name. I've been experimenting with several, and I've settled on Chocrates. Because he is the second Socrates that I'm aware of. The Brazilian Socrates is a person that I've admired as a football player, and also for his morality and principles.
Do you think this is the right time to actually tell people that don't, those that don't know, where the original Chucky came from? I mean, I can't believe anyone doesn't know that, but. For anyone that doesn't, do you want to refresh the memory?
I mean, strangely enough, I mean, I don't know if everybody yearns, but I think when you're growing up, it's quite nice to have a nickname. And I never had a nickname. One of the reasons I'm aware, one of the reasons why I'm called Brian, according to what I can recall my mother saying, was that she wanted a name. I'm the oldest firstborn in my mother and father's household, and that she wanted a name that you couldn't shorten. My dad was Charles. It was he got Chick and Charlie, and she just wanted something. And I don't know why. And her brother was called Hugh, and he got Shug or Huey. So for some reason, she had this in her head that she wanted to find a name. And she decided upon Brian, who was also the name of the first king of Ireland. But people have managed to later on in my life actually shorten that to Bri or B. But all the way through my childhood, I never had a nickname, and I had a nickname when I was at Motherwell, which. Is completely different, and that's a different tale altogether that we may get to at some point if we decide that we're going to continue, or if indeed there is any kind of appetite for someone trying to drag the words out of me. Pre-season game in 1981 in Switzerland. It was a very, very hot day. It was a Saturday afternoon kickoff. We were playing, I was playing for Celtic. I'm not sure if it was, it was my very first appearance, but as with the want, with a lot of enthusiastic fans who tend to turn up all over the globe where their favourite football team is playing. And across this over the top, we could hear the couple of guys singing Celtic songs or this Celtic song, but you couldn't see them until they appeared over this big terracing, massive terracing. and they both of them had on, everything they had on was in Celtic green, including scarves and hats. Mindful of that it was in the shade, something like 90 odd degrees on that day. And one of them shouted to me, or to the in general, come on, the chocolate McClare. And Tommy Burns, who had, is one of the funniest players, or one of the funniest people I've come across, latched upon this because he felt, and as a lot of people felt, that football players like things to be called particularly things or have things pointed out. And he turned around and said, that's it. You're sticking by that. I'm going to make that stick. Chocolate, that's your name from now on. And because he was a very diligent in his work with regard to nicknames, he did make sure that it stuck by calling me chocolate, all various types of chocolate all the way through that. I suppose it's ironic that it was in Switzerland that has some kind of attachment to said confection. And over the period of time, it has been shortened to Chocky, as in C-H-O-C-C-Y. But when I came to England, several people thought it was C-H-A-L-K-Y, which is something sort of completely different and a bit of an aberration, really. So Tommy Burns, although he didn't come up with it, he was the one who made sure that it stuck. And I'm very pleased with it and delighted because it's pretty unique, really. And why I like it, so a lot of it is because a lot of the other nicknames of my teammates throughout my career, their nicknames are longer than their own name, which I just think is quite strange, you know, usually by ending an O or an I-O or a Y or an S-Y to the end of it, you know. Giggsy, Scolesy. I suppose Bex is probably one of the few that's actually shorter, you know.
But ultimately, though, it did become shortened, though, didn't it? Because it was chocolate, and now it's become Chocky. But I was going to say, did you find yourself, when you met new players and new clubs and what have you, did you have to keep explaining this? Because I remember talking to Neil Webb once.
Always, I've always had to explain it. Yeah.
Yeah, he said for a couple of seasons, he played alongside you, and he couldn't understand or couldn't work out why you were called Chocky. So obviously, he was one
Webby?
Of the few. Webb, yeah, Neil Webb. So,
but it happened. I suppose in a way that I don't know. I mean, it depends on how fond or how much you are into the various different kinds of chocolate and confection. In Scotland, as my number of fillings will back up, is that chocolate eclairs are fairly popular, or quite popular. It's only when you mention, you know, or even, I mean, chocolate eclairs, or as in the choux pastry with cream inside it. So both is the toffee sweet with chocolate inside and the choux pastry with real cream, or this other kind of weird cream we've had in Scotland covered in chocolate had always been popular. It's only when you kind of turn around and turn around and say to people, eclair, that they go, oh, no, that's, oh, why didn't I even think about that? No idea, man. So, yeah, I'd continue to explain it, but it's always entertaining to explain to people, knowing that, it's a bit more tricky when you're in Hong Kong, but.
Well, now we've got the pleasantries out of the way, I suppose it's time for me to say to you officially, why now to dip your toe into the murky waters of the podcast world? And don't just say because I asked you to, because I know that's probably what you're going to say. No, but, I mean,
no. The idea, I used to be at the forefront with regards to reading up on various types of technology. When CDs first came out, I bought a CD player and had a CD player in my car and went through, particularly to do with music, various different things, read up lots of different stuff that came out. And then I didn't have a mini disc, but I knew about it, all the different formats. And then I was into the iPod when it first came out. And been able to do the fascination. Because, I mean, well, I used to have one single CD in the car to having, I think the maximum I had was like one of those 12 CD holders, so that you could have it on shuffle, so you're maximising your musical opportunities and stuff you had a choice of. Which reminds me of that he used to cashier with Gary Pallister, and he had one CD. Not that he owned one CD, he just had the one CD that he would play. And I don't know whether he was doing it just because he knew I didn't like it or he actually did like it, but it was Sting's solo or first solo album.
Was this when you used to cashier on your way to...
on the way to training. The cliff, yeah. So...
Maybe that was just his way of saying he didn't want you to travel with him.
No,
he's trying to put you off politely.
No, the thing about being involved in football and being involved in that dressing room, we were quite blunt in our opinions of each other, and we were quite comfortable voicing those opinions. So we all kind of knew what it was, you know. So it wasn't to do with that. It'd be quite clearly Pally would have been saying, and to try and mock my accent, you're good yourself. You're yourself. You're driving yourself. I'm not taking you anymore. You're boring. So that the podcast kind of thing, I'd never really been that bothered about podcasts, but my son Liam had been interested in all this sort of stuff. And I think because of various... various versions in different formats of Jockey's Diary, he periodically over 2 or 3 years has said, oh, why don't you think about doing a podcast? I think you'd be good at that. And I just was like, well, didn't really have the inclination for it. But I think probably after the most recent time, the recent times after the last year or so. So I thought about it beforehand and I considered it, never came across the right people to be able to get involved in it, which I'm very glad that I have now. So far it's gone swimmingly well for all three of us. And hopefully that'll be something that'll continue for a long time. I'd never come across the right people to be able to produce it and to be involved with. And also because I wanted it to be, and hopefully it will be, more upbeat and more positive. I didn't think in the climate over last year it was probably appropriate. Now that there seems to be a lot more positivity in the world, particularly in the sense that there's a lot more. There is one or two vaccines that are being administered at the moment, and this every day there seems to be other ones that are being considered for licenses throughout the world, that maybe I should come out of... we are. And that's why I thought, well, right, okay, it's probably the time now to have a look and see if we can touch some people out there, and whether it be humorously, whether it can be something that may help them, something to give them positivity in their life. So here we are now embarking on this first introductory podcast.
What sort of things have you been doing or listening to, or what's kept you going and kept you in a positive frame of mind during all the other stuff that's been going on for the last year?
Well, I think that I've always been an optimistic and positive person. One of the reasons, I suppose, has been that through every day that I've been virtually on this planet, whether it was through my childhood, the bits of that I can remember, and certainly through school, and then through into football, I wanted to enjoy myself and have a laugh and a joke and a carry on with people every single day, and that's something that I've been able to maintain and have, or even have positive thoughts. It's even when you're wandering around, as I have the pleasure of doing in Edinburgh, where I'm residing at the present moment, you can see plenty of people who look glum, or plenty of people who are in situations that are not as good as the ones that I've been in. I have a contact with I've got a good friend called Brian who has addiction issues, and he counsels several other people who have similar addiction issues, and I speak to him on a regular basis. And when you hear the sort of things that he talks about that have happened to him in his life, and also he tells me about without compromising any trust, is that there's an awful lot of people with a lot of things that are difficult for them to deal with. And then not only that, then all of a sudden becomes a strange and, as you've already said, difficult situation where you don't know what's going to happen, you know, from one minute to the next. Certainly that's my experience of lockdown, you know, until the other day there, probably more pertinently in England, nobody had any idea of when there was maybe going to be some light cast upon the shadow.
So from a personal point of view then, I mean, have you done your best to just avoid any kind of, I mean, I remember talking to you back in the summer, I think it was, and you were saying how
I've been doing that all my life. Though.
Well, yeah, more so now than even then, I suppose. But I mean, you were telling me that you basically just wanted to avoid any kind of reference to it, any kind of news. You even wouldn't listen to the radio anymore because you were just super hearing about it.
So. No, I didn't. I stopped because it's not just about that. I mean, I don't watch or don't listen to the news because, and maybe it's something to do with your time of life, your age, your outlook, your experiences, is that the news is there because it's sensational. It's to be sensational. If you're going to be sitting and saying, talking about what really happens in people's lives, people are not going to watch it. I think that whether it's, and it's been like that forever, it doesn't matter what it is. It's any particular thing, and that's where the way the news is. I didn't want to spend my time listening to, and another thing about it is that what I suppose the, you know, the galling part for me all the way through is that there's been a misuse and taking advantage of statistics. I did statistics at university, so I'm well aware of what you can do with them, and I felt all the way through that people have used that to their advantage, and I think a lot of it has been to scare and to manipulate and to keep us, suppose, a bit suppressed. But it has worked, and it seems that it would certainly in the UK that majority of people will in certain circumstances abide by lockdown and get on with it, with the hope that at some point that it's going to cease. I think that the but all the way through, I think there's been too much bullshit about it, and a lot of people have been kidded about it all the way through. And I know they'll even use that kind of thing about saying that we're going to defeat this by Easter. That was Easter last year, when quite clearly the evidence was still going to say, or evidence historically for viruses would be, no, that's not going to happen. You know,
if you've been avoiding the bombardment of news, good news and bad news, just the overwhelming amount of news that we've got that's, you know, almost all dedicated to coronavirus, what have you been doing to avoid that? What have you been watching? What have you been listening to? What have you been spending your time doing to sort of get away from that?
In the one of the benefits of not watching very much television is they'd be able to wander through several box sets on all these subscription channels that I didn't know existed until then. So I've just been they've been doing a lot of walking. I've went to almost to the same convenience supermarket every single day every single day now, after a long period of time of which, you know, I couldn't really get, is that there was the same kind of number of people that I either walked past or I was in the same environment of in a small convenience supermarket without any face coverings. And then months after that, they were told that you had to wear a face covering. And I don't see any difference whatsoever in that situation. So watching, continue to do that, walking. I started to do a bit of running. I don't know why I was doing running, because I hate it. I've always hated it. And but fortunately,
as some of your former United colleagues
the thing is about them is that they forget about exactly what it was and how difficult and how hard I worked. But we can get back to that at another point. Running, but fortunately my body decided that it would curtail that activity by giving me a sore knee, so I couldn't do it anymore. And my GP he was just laughing at me, nodding his head, and he said, get yourself a bike. Well, I already had a bike, so I got the bike fixed. So cycling, walking. I've always been pretty decent at avoiding people anyway. So it's not been that difficult, really. Although the one thing that as I say, that I, and that you appreciate it by not having it, is the opportunity to go to the public house, not necessarily for an alcoholic refreshment, but for the energy maybe that's somewhere that I energize in, you know, that I go there, but not, I don't have to particularly participate in any conversations or any actions that are there, but I can listen, I can watch, and I think I find that I have found that energizing, and I do miss that.
You saying you're some kind of barfly then, that likes to just sit and listen to the people's conversations and watch the world go by? Are you a people watcher?
Oh, I've always been a people watcher. Yeah, yeah. Very much been a people watcher. Every day I see things that do amuse me, or I hear things, and I think that I'm probably a distillation of life when you get people. So rather than being out walking, where you may come across some people who might be doing or saying something, when you're in a room, or like the pub does for you, or even in the pub garden, the people tend to come there, and you can locate yourself there if you choose to for a period of time until you've had your energy bar is full up and perhaps overflowing. But yeah, people watching, always I like to do that, yeah.
Speaking of people in pubs, you were telling me a while back that you often earwig into people's conversations who are, you know, nudging each other and saying, "Is that Brian McClare? No, it can't be Brian McClare. Is it Brian McClare?" And you're listening and just waiting for them to come over and speak to you. You must get that all the time.
It happens an awful lot more than I would ever imagine it would happen, because probably particularly in the fact that I'm covered in this lovely grey stuff that's growing out of my face and in that period of time as well. It's astonishing though that really that where people get it from, you know. But yeah, it is entertaining listening, particularly sometimes. I mean, I've been in situations where my name's cropped up where they've no idea that it's been me, which is pretty bizarre as well. But you're always, it's always been good. It's all been always been positive experiences. I haven't had many people wanting to take me out or ask me out and for what is colloquially known as Scotland, is this for a square go, you know, or started castigating me in various different situations. So I feel blessed in that it's all gone well, even if it has been kind of some strange things. That and one of the things as well though, about the recognition thing, that slightly, it's a very mild irritation, but also humorous in that, going back to, say, 1981, when I first kind of had any kind of public profile as a football player, all the way through to now, that anyone whoever has ever had a discussion of maybe stop me in the street or been sometimes following me, is that there's usually a wager, maybe more in Scotland than there is than anywhere else. There's always a wager between one or two people. It is me, it's not me, it is me, it's not me. And every single time I've asked what the wager is from 1981 to 2021, it's a fiver. Now, that's slightly disappointing in that it's still a fiver. And I thought it might have gone up to maybe, you know, £7.69 by now, but it's still a fiver. And I just find that a wee bit weird, really, you know, that a fiver, you know. Soon fivers, there won't be any fivers, will there? And it's like, what are you going to do now, you know? Maybe nobody will recognise me then and they won't come up and say, excuse me, do you mind asking, do you, but... And sometimes I say, I go, well, what I tend to say now to people if they ask, I say that I used to be, which is pretty flummoxing for a lot of people for that initial instance, is like, how can you used to be? Who are you now? What are you now?
Talking of flummoxing, I think the one time I've seen you actually flummox was in a pub in Glasgow back in the good old days when we had that couple of months in between lockdowns, and somebody actually recognised you. And, I mean, this podcast was nearly called Brian, What's Your Name? And you know why that is, Brian, don't you? Because this fella in a pub down the Gallagate obviously recognised that a former Celtic legend was in his pub, and word was going round. And,
well, it's, I mean, yeah, well...
When I say former Celtic legend, I mean Celtic legend, sorry.
That, again, there's a great example of something that occurs when you're sitting already having a really pleasant time with some friends, visiting some cracking places in a great town, and then you get a situation that occurs like that from nowhere, and that it is hilarious, as you were there because you witnessed it. But for again, when it's the sort of, I don't really get it. I don't really understand this kind of thing, because I wouldn't be running around doing this, you know, that's Joanna Lumley over there, who apparently was going to come in the next day, or that's whoever else it is, but it was me and this particular person, and the guy, it was in the Saracen's Head in Glasgow, very famous old pub. And Joanna Lumley was due in the next day, according to the same, bar manager. But he was been talking to an older guy who was a big Celtic fan, and one of the things I liked about him, and it's a generation just before mine, is that it was a Sunday, and people in Scotland, and certainly certainly this guy had been, he'd been to church, and maybe on a Saturday night, they would get dressed up because it made them feel better about themselves. And on a Sunday as well, they would go to church all dressed up in their best clothes. And this guy had been to church, and he was dressed in some lovely clothes, his shirt on, his tie on. Everything was immaculate. His shoes were immaculate. And the guy was been saying to him, well, we're just within earshot, but not. We weren't supposed to hear that. That's Brian McClair over there. He's going, nah, and that's never that. No, that he looked around, looked at me, and he said, that's never him. No chance. That's never him. And Dan goes, I'm telling you, it's him. And then who's the barman? And he shouts over, Brian, tell this guy what you were called when you were playing. I was like, you've just called me. You just called me Brian, you know. I was like, and the guy went like, and he still wouldn't believe me. He still wouldn't. And then because of the, even him, he must have been heading towards, was just considerably older than me, so he must have been about 90 odd. In his 70s, he gets his phone out and goes on to the internet, the interweb, picks up a picture, gets a picture up, comes over, holds it next to my face, has a little look, no, not having that one, gets another picture up. Right, okay, yeah, that's good. And at that moment, which is a good part for me, he goes, let me buy you a drink. No, you're okay. I'm all right. I'm fine. No, son. It'd be an honour for me to buy you a drink. This is very pleasant. I like this part of getting recognised.
I just wonder whether Joanna Lumley went through the same experience when she went in the next day, because Brian's right. We were in that pub that day, and the landlord was telling us, in no uncertain terms, that Joanna Lumley was coming in the next day to do some filming, and he was very excited about it. And I do wonder whether somebody shouted out across the room, hey, Joanna, what's your name?
What was your name when you used to be in those yon programmes? What was your name in Absolutely Fabulous? Patsy. Hey, Patsy, your name's Patsy, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll never know.
No, it's Joanna. No, come on, you can't. Yeah, no. I've seen you. Your name's Patsy. I've had that before as well.
Life with Brian. Humour, music, film and books. Football, sport and box sets. Exercise, trivia. Food and health and politics. Life with Brian. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. Find out how he grooms his Viking facial hair on the Live with Brian.
I remember years ago I was in another pub with some friends of mine, and somebody must have told this guy, this was in Coatbridge, they must have told this guy that Brian McClair was over there, and I don't know how this is happened. So they were two friends of mine, both of whom are considerably larger than I am. And the guy went over and came over and said to my mate, excuse me, can you send me an autograph? And my mate was going, what are you on about? He goes, oh, Brian McClair, my mate's just said, you're Brian McClair. And he went, no, that's Brian McClair, pointing to me. And he just looked at me and went, no, that's not Brian McClair. can you just sign this for me, you know? And he went, right, okay, right. And so he gets a bit of paper and he gives it to me, right? And I sign the bit of paper and hand it back to my mate, who hands it back to this guy, who at that point is totally disgusted. And he turns round to my mate and says, what kind of fucking person is you? Fucking you. You can't even fucking sign an autograph. So not only is it, have I got the thing that's not me, I'm going to, and my reputation's getting fucking tatters because I've signed as me, but the guy's not having it as me. So he's away fucking telling all his friends and all that, else, that fucking Brian McClure, you know, he's a dick, you know, less, you know. And it was like, he wouldn't have it, you know. He was like, I'm sorry, but mate, this Brian McClure, no, fuck off. So
did the fella, your mate, did he look anything like you?
Nothing like me, no. Nothing. I mean, he's comfortably 3 stone heavier than me. What's that? You know, it's like, he couldn't have created that situation in a play, in a drama. And the guy was so, he was properly disgusted that me is not me. Had handed it to me as me to sign and hand it back. It was we just could not convince the guy that he just wasn't having it. He wouldn't have it at all. Try going back and going, look, you know, and everybody, there was other people in the pub who knew this guy, and he just was going, he wasn't having it. So he maybe still wandering around cursing me for the and so arrogant that I get somebody else.
And it wasn't even you.
Design autographs in my handwriting. In my handwriting as well. My exact autograph. So that's, yeah. You just dragged that one out of me.
You're right, though. You say about how, you know, you miss these things with not going into the pubs, and not necessarily just for drinking, but just for the company and,
That's what it is about, because it's just so many. I mean, every time you go in, it's that, you know, that thing we had recently when when in the summertime and I'm in the pub and there's a guy quite clearly it says his activity that makes life worthwhile for him, where he's living on his own, he's endured the first lockdown and now he's allowed to go back to the place that's a sanctuary for him and a place that he can feel comfortable and feel that his life is good, and that's going and being in the bar and either listening to other people's conversations or waiting for an appropriate moment to join in people's conversations. And he was a fairly interesting dude, you know. And then you overhear him. I'm talking about. And he's involved in a conversation where there's two lads telling stories about their life and he latches onto this kind of thing about, as a lot of people do, and when you start to tell stories, and you might start telling stories about people you've met, you might start like that, maybe that story I've just said to you there about Brian McClure, he's so arrogant he won't even sign his own autograph. He's got some guy that signs it for him, which would be a really great story if it came back round. And you listen to people tell them a story, and then other people will try and outdo them. Oh, I've got a better story than that. And this guy decided he would join in it, and the story. And it culminated in a conversation about South Africa and Paul Simon, and Paul Simon going there to record his album, one of his most famous solo albums, Graceland. Which would come under a lot of fierce criticism for various different reasons, because he went there when while it was still subject to apartheid. But the story that the guy's talking about is that he had apparently met this single guy who's regaling the story to two other lads about that he had met some people who had been part of the recording of Graceland, and that there was a barbershop quartet. I think there was 6 or 7 of them At which point the four other people in the bar, including myself, your ears, well, certainly if you've got any idea about numbers, is that, oh, what, did he just, surely, no, he didn't. Yeah, oh, and the one of the guys that he's talking to went, oh, hold on a second. You said a barbershop quartet? Aye, I think there was seven. There might have been eight of them. No, a quartet is four. No, there was definitely more than four of them. It's the, you think, oh, that's such a great story, you know. And it probably did happen to this guy, that he was in South Africa and he'd met people who had sang on Paul Simon's Graceland. A great story to be telling in a pub in Scotland. But then been able to make it an even better story by either not being able to count or not understand what the word quartet meant, or maybe even barbershop. But and after then, I think it was the next day, the pub shut again in Scotland, and I've often wondered how that guy has got on in that period of time, because that's what he did, you know. That's part of his everyday activities that kept him motivated and kept him going.
As well as plucking subjects out of thin air for each episode, we want you to get involved by sending your questions to McClare's mailbag. If you want to ask Brian about Eric Cantona's music taste or the state of public transport in Scotland's Central Belt or anything equally as random, then here's your chance. You can get in touch by following us on Twitter at Brian McClare Pod and use the hashtag AskChockey, and we'll read the best ones out each week. So, Matthew, if you please, stick your hand in my sack and see what comes out.
Nothing would give me greater pleasure, Mark. So, here we go. This is the first one. This is from Craig Fairley. Now, he says, can you ask Brian about the Oasis live demo tape that he apparently has, and if he still has it? Now, Brian, I think this goes back to the days of when Liam and Noel Gallagher used to clean your car, did they not?
It wasn't an exclusive agreement. Liam and Noel were part of a car cleaning company owned by a lad who was from the same area in Manchester as they were. They're all big City fans. They managed to persuade Alex Ferguson to allow them to come to the cliff to clean the cars at the cliff, including the staff, because they were already doing it at Platt Lane at the time, as long as the gaffer's car got cleaned and valeted first, then he was quite happy for that to continue. I don't remember so much about Liam, but I certainly remember Noel had a penchant for penguin biscuits with his coffee if he ever came round to the house to valet the cars there. And Paul gave me a cassette, which turned out to be I don't think it was a demo, I think it's a copy of the demo. So it was a tape with a copy of the demo tape that they'd made, because the version I had didn't have any inlay card with any details on it. It was just a tape. And it's always mystifies me how people would know that I had been given some kind of version of it. I can't say that I could lay my hand to it, but I do have a box of tapes at home, because that was one of the things I used to do, was make up mixtapes to play in the car or in my Walkman when we were on trips, iPods. I think I've actually got one of Mr. Nevin's mixes lying about as well. So I might dig that out if dig that out. I'll have a look for that as well. That maybe will be more valuable than the demo, or the copy of the demo, or the demo of the demo, whatever it is I may have.
So was there any inclination with the young Gallagher brothers at the time of what they might go on to become? I mean, were they particularly...
Oh, they, listening to... Well, I mean, my first... My casting back, although it's probably easy to say now because of many things that have been written and reviewed about it, it did sound as if they were fans of the Beatles. If you listen to the first few tracks that were on their debut album, it was good. Yeah, it was. It was very good. For at no point did you really have any idea of the mark they were going to make, not only on the music at the time, but also on the culture of the time. You know.
So were they famously gobby as they went on to become, or were they?
Well, no, as I said, I don't recall Noel saying anything apart from thanks for his coffee and his penguin biscuits. Liam has claimed that he used to scratch the cars, which I think is a bit of hyperbole, which probably lends itself more to the music industry and that kind of sort of status or legend that you're trying to create for yourself, or whatever else it helps you to sell your product. But I do find Liam and his comments that he makes and fearless, the things you see in interviews, very amusing.
Okay, well, let's go on. Chris Derry has asked you, he says, two penalties against Rangers in a 3-1 win in 1987, and a Rangers fan tried to attack you during one of them whilst their manager, Graham Souness, goaded the crowd. Was this your favourite Celtic game as a player?
No, I don't have any favourite games that I played in at any point, even ones that I might have scored goals in or won. All of them, there were great things to be part of and great memories to look back on. That game, it's difficult to say what was going through the guy's head. I mean, he left the Rangers end of the ground, which at the time, the configuration of the ground was a considerable distance away from the penalty spot. So to keep up the pace that he did then, potentially with a few alcoholic drinks on board, was quite impressive. Now, he didn't attack me, but he was running towards me, and there's all sorts of things going through your head at the time about, well, what do you do in a situation like this? Do you move out of the way? Do you rugby tackle them? Do you wait to see what happens? Do you take a punch? I had no idea. I had all these things through my head, but also with the knowing that it's been recorded to be broadcast. It'll be broadcast live on the radio, and also there's a big crowd there. But he, for whatever reason, as he got close to me, he shouted something that I don't know what he said. I couldn't tell you what he said, but it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. High chalky, good luck with this penalty. And then he, as I say, he ran past me, and then I'm not sure if one of my teammates maybe grabbed a hold of him or the police managed to apprehend him. But he had a right good run, and in another world, he could have potentially had the attributes to be an athlete. As I say, you know, running full pelt like that distance, fully clothed with maybe a couple of tonic wines down him.
It didn't put you off, though. You obviously dispatched the penalty.
No, it didn't put me off, no. I scored, I don't know if it was the first one penalty or the second penalty, because it was two penalties, if I recall, in that game.
So it's McClare against Woods. The referee is making sure all the players are 10 yards away. 1-0 to Celtic. Comprehensively deposited by Brian McClare. And a jubilation now from the Celtic fans. No chance at all for Chris Woods. And Brian McClare, the goal-scoring machine, gets number 35 of the season.
Okay, so finally, we've got a bit of a shopping question here from Dave McLaughlin. He says, with retail shops potentially opening in early April or later in April in Scotland, what shopping strategies would you suggest for people looking to buy presents for their other halves?
Well, okay, that's two-part answer to this question. There's a Dave who was telling a couple, well, me and some friends of mine, what they had decided to purchase for the other half for Christmas, which was, and this is what I would not recommend anybody doing this, and if Dave did get away with this, then all the credit should be down to his partner, because he decided in his wisdom that it would be a good idea to buy her some clothes for the gym that were at least one size too small for her, to encourage her, he said, to encourage her to lose weight. And allied with that was said membership for the gym that he was going to put in as part of the present. So if that relationship survived, then it's of huge credit to the girlfriend, wife, partner, whatever. I think that's the wrong strategy to take. Even if it's in a humorous way, I would expect you to get a clout round the ear for that. I would suggest that pay attention, or have paid attention much more to your partner during lockdown, because you spent maybe a bit more time with her, and you may well have gleaned some of the things that she likes. You may be her favourite perfume. It may be a favourite drink, which not necessarily mean to be an alcoholic drink, but I know that from experiences listening to other people who have had positive feedback with regards to the gift, that Prosecco always seems to go down well. Particularly, I think, in the sense that you can get a lot more Prosecco compared to what you can get for champagne, and apparently it tastes just as nice. I think that flowers always are a very good present. And you get some lovely chocolates now from places like Hotel Chocolat. But of course, you should never forget that you may well have noticed what a favourite kitchen implement is, and maybe that needs replaced.
With those retail and relationship pearls on board, let's bring our first episode to a close. Chucky, thanks very much for doing this. I hope you're willing to forgive me and Matthew for subjecting you to this podcast, and you're going to come back again?
No, it's been for various reasons, it's been a wonderful and enjoyable experience, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to hearing the professional edit of the nonsense that I've been talking about. But also, I think that I'm running through my head consistently things to ask our future guests too. So I'm energised about the whole situation. Thanks to you two guys for all your efforts.
Well, that's good news, because me and Matthew have got little else to do at the minute. So yeah, we'll be here. And Matthew, thank you as well.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure. And thanks, Brian, as always.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And before we wrap it up, if you're wondering about the brilliant music on the show, we have the McClares to thank once again. And no, this time it's not Brian. In fact, all the credit goes to the uber-talented Liam McClare, who is Chucky's son. Like all musicians, the last year has been tough on the work front. So if you're looking for someone to compose something unique and catchy for any event or project, it would be great if you could get in touch with Liam via his email address, which is liamwritesongs@gmail.com. And you should definitely go and look at his Twitter account, which is @LiamMcClare, where he posts a lot of videos from his YouTube channel, where he also does live streaming sessions. So please go and give him a look, and hopefully if you can find somehow to support him, then please do. such a talented lad, Brian. You must be really proud of him.
Yeah, I think that it's great to, for someone. I mean, I said before that I was allowed to follow my dream, which was to become a professional football player. Liam had a little opportunity to do that, but he decided that that wasn't for him. So he's followed another dream that he's had, which is in music, and it's allowed him to. It's allowed him to live a really good life where he's doing what he loves and what he thoroughly enjoys, and he loves doing it, and that's the thing. It's a dream. That's something, one of his dreams, saying football was one, but he's following the dream of music, and he's gone through various different journeys along that route, and he seems to be in a happy place with what he's doing with his music and what he's producing with his music. And I think you can see that if you watch him on the YouTube stuff on a Friday night when he's playing away, that it's something he thoroughly enjoys, and is a byproduct for him, that it's his livelihood as well.
Well, all that's left me to do now is a bit of admin. Please don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Brian McClare Pod for news about upcoming episodes and some of the special guests that we're going to have on in the future. You can get in touch with us via the hashtag AskChockey, where you can send the questions for the mailbag. And please don't forget to hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening to us. You'll find Life with Brian, the Brian McClare podcast, on iTunes, Spotify, Google, Anchor, Acast, and just about everywhere else. That's it then. Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it and that you're going to be back next time. So, cheers.
Life with Brian, talking films or music. Life with Brian, talking TV and food. Life with Brian, talking trivia. Life with Brian is different every episode. Life with Brian, talking politics and football. Life with Brian is different every episode. Life with Brian, life with Brian.